Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to advance and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior. That's the reason why we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful that we are members of the royal family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, not based upon anything we've done, but based totally upon the fact that we've accepted that magnificent gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We realize that this is a gift, a magnificent gift, and it is provided for everyone. And that's the reason why the Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you for your matchless blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Works not accepted is a subject. Works not accepted. You see this verse now on the screen. Also, we have the verse on the back of your bulletin or in your bulletin for the day. So if you have a copy of today's bulletin, you will see this magnificent verse of Scripture. I cannot take the time to deal with all the various words in this, but I need to tell you that we need to look first of all at the word works. Ergon, E-R-G-O-N, works. The next word I point out is the word law. Nomu or nomos is the word in the root form. Because by works of the law, there shall be no flesh justified. And the word justify here is dikaoo, D-I-K-A-O-O. We've seen this word many, many times. You'll notice that it is emphasizing the fact that individuals are not justified by the flesh. Future tense, passive voice, indicative mood, the mood of reality. Because by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. I need to point out one other Greek word here. For through the law is full knowledge of sin. Each one of these words, of course, is very important. The preposition dia, for, G-A-R, which is the post-positive conjunctive particle. For through the law is full knowledge of sin. Most of us many, many times have seen this word, epinosis, and you'll see that it is used here. What we find in Romans 3:20 is that works are not accepted. I'm going to move this out so that you can see that this verse of Scripture is telling us that a person is not saved by works, anything that we've done. It is totally because of what God has done through Jesus Christ on our behalf. In the first session today, we dealt with the subject of legalism. We get more into that subject now. There are four principal spiritual transactions in which works are not accepted by God. There are many areas that we could deal with here, but I want you to see that we're primarily emphasizing four principal spiritual transactions in which works are not accepted by God. Salvation, works not accepted by God. Spirituality, works not accepted by God. Maturity, works not accepted by God. Rewards, not accepted by God, works. You may want to put those four areas down. There are other areas that we could deal, but those are the four that I want you to see. There are four principal spiritual transactions in which works are not accepted by our Heavenly Father. Salvation, spirituality, maturity, and rewards. Legalism, first of all, is discussed in the area of salvation. There are many religious systems today which teach salvation by works, or which try to mix works with faith. I want you to be able to see here, people are saying, believe and keep the law of Moses. In the Old Testament times, the Apostle Paul talks about this in the New Testament times, in relationship to the Jews, believe and be circumcised. Believe in water baptism. Believe and confess your sins. You'll notice I put the plus here. Believe plus keeping the law. Believe plus circumcision. Believe plus water baptism. Believe plus confession of sins. Believe plus giving up your bad habits and fully surrender. Believe and make public display or have great sorrow of a show of tears. Some people are of the opinion that you cannot be born into God's kingdom until you cry at the point when you're asking God to come into your life and be your Savior. Believe plus church membership. But the gospel is believe plus nothing. Amen. It's very important for us to see this. Legalism in Christian living is the second point. Legalism in Christian living or spirituality. This is something that you and I probably are aware of, but we don't think that much about. Some people are of the opinion that there are certain taboos, certain things for you not to do in life, or if you do certain things, you're not right with God. Taboos, thinking one is spiritual because he doesn't or she doesn't do certain things or follows a certain do and don't list. There are people who have the opinion that because of my relationship to the Lord and what I understand, then there are things that I'm to do and not to do. And if I see you doing or not doing these things, then I'm in a position where I can judge and determine whether you're right with God or not. Now, I want you to see the problem there. Taboos, thinking one is spiritual because he doesn't do certain things or follows a certain list of do's and don'ts. We have this a lot in Christianity today. We have a lot of people, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who've drawn conclusions about what should be done and should not be done, and they've made their own decision about the fact that they can look at other individuals and see what they do or don't do, and they can determine whether or not they are right with God or not. That is the use of the word taboos. Number two, some people feel like that they are right with God if they're imitating personalities. The idea that living the Christian life is a conformity to other individuals determined by the way they dress, their mannerisms, their speech, and so forth. There are people who have the opinion that so-and-so is right with God. They say they're right with God. So if I'm going to be right with God, I need to dress like they dress, talk like they talk, and say things like they are saying things. This is imitating personalities. I want you to follow this carefully. Some people are of the opinion, which we call relative righteousness. your sins are worse than mine. I watch you carefully and I see that you do certain things and I don't do those things, and I want you to know that I've determined that you're not right with God. Are you following me? Relative righteousness. Your sins are worse than mine, therefore I'm more spiritual than you. I am spiritual, and I have to tell you, you're carnal. Now, some of you are getting this, and some of you are just wondering what in the world the preacher is saying. Relative righteousness. Your sins are worse than mine. Therefore, I'm more spiritual than you. Or I'm spiritual, and I have to conclude that you're carnal. God has given me the gift of soul inspection. And I have inspected your soul, and I've determined that you're carnal and I'm spiritual. Relative righteousness. Ecstatics. Spirituality by speaking in tongues. Groaning. I want to throw that in. Getting in a trance or fainting. It just really bugs me, and I have this happen every now and then, where people come up and they'll say, in essence, to me, "Oh my, that was a magnificent sermon." And I hear this sometimes at funerals. "Oh, that was such, God just had his hand upon you, and you, in fact, I got so close I thought I was going to have to speak in tongues." And when that happens, I just kind of back off. Ecstatics. Spirituality by speaking in tongues, groaning, getting a trance, being slain in the spirit, fainting. Do y'all want me to talk some more about that? No, let's go to the next one. Asceticism. Spirituality by self-sacrifice or extreme self-denial. Giving up normal activities or even necessities in the mistaken notion that God is impressed. You really have to think about these things. Number six, ritual. The idea that one is spiritual because he or she goes through various forms of ceremony or ritual. In the apostles' day, the Jews promoted circumcision as necessary to the Christian walk. These days, people push various other things, as baptism is used, other sacraments are used. There are some people who are of the opinion that you cannot be saved unless you're baptized. And other people believe that you cannot be saved unless you are baptized as a part of the responsibility of being a member of the local congregation. Now, you're listening to me. You're seeing what I'm saying. What we're saying here is the idea that one is spiritual because he goes through various forms of ceremony or ritual. Whether it be in the days of the Jews promoting circumcision, or people today talking about baptism is necessary for either salvation on the one hand or church membership on the other hand. Confusing means with results. The idea that you're spiritual if you're faithful in praying, giving, witnessing, attending church, so forth. I want you to see something. These are legitimate activities as a result of Christian growth and the filling of the Holy Spirit. They are not the means for spirituality or growth in Christ. It's important to distinguish the difference. What I'm trying to do is to let you see the difference. Should a person pray? Of course. Should a person do these various things? Of course. But those things do not determine spirituality. What determines spirituality is being in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed of sin, and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says, "Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." How many times have I said this? If God gives us, in the Greek New Testament, the word in the imperative mood, which is a command, you can rest assured that if God ever gives us a command, he provides the means by which that command can be fulfilled. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, if God gives a command in his word, he always provides the means by which that command can be fulfilled. And that's the reason why when you go to Ephesians 5:18, where it says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a verb in the imperative mood, a command. God never told us to be filled with the Holy Spirit if He didn't make the process possible for us. Now, receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit is not something unusual, odd, or strange, or make you act silly. That's not true at all. The Scripture says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's exactly what happens when we admit our faults and failures and sins, and He fills us with His Spirit. It is then that we are in a position where we can properly read and study and listen to the communication of the Word of God. Fantastic. This is what we call the grace system of comprehension. The grace principle is this. When you're in fellowship, occupied with Christ, controlled by the Holy Spirit, all of your activities bring eternal reward. And it's described in the Bible as gold, silver, and precious stones. In other words, you're producing divine good. And the spiritual power for your efforts comes from God as a grace provision. I've given the illustration many, many times. The neighbors have an illness. And this lady concludes that she needs to take a cake over to the neighbors. She can have one or two different attitudes. One is, this is a wonderful opportunity for me. And in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, right with God, she moves over there and takes a cake. All right, here's another illustration. This same lady, though, now has been asked to take a cake, and she really doesn't want to, but she made the cake, and she's not in harmony with her own thinking about it. She's upset that she was asked to do it, and so she makes a cake, and she takes the cake over to the neighbor. When she gets over there, she smiles and gives her the cake, but in her heart, she is really upset that the church asked her to make the cake. Now, on the one hand, I've given you a gold and silver and precious stones. And on the other hand, I've given you wood and hay and stubble. Did y'all get the difference? The difference is, the first time, the illustration is that she was in harmony with the Lord and everything was fine. She was blessed by what she did, and the lady who received the cake was also blessed. But the second illustration, the same lady asked to take the cake is frustrated, perplexed about it, not very happy about having to do it, and she's out of harmony, out of fellowship, but she does it. And she takes the cake over to the neighbor. One illustration is, it's done, which is divine good, and the other illustration is human activity, human good. You're producing divine good, gold, silver, precious stones. And the spiritual power for your efforts comes from God as a grace provision. When you're out of fellowship, however, sin's not confessed. You're occupied with yourself. You control yourself and everything, frustration and chaos. So what do you do this time? You produce human good, wood, hay, and stubble. There's no spiritual power supporting your efforts, and there's no reward for them in heaven. Obedience to God's word is not legalism. Remember the definition. Everything you do has the potential for reward in heaven under the right circumstances. But the legalist thinks that the good works he or she does for God will not only keep him in fellowship and walking with the Lord, will also make him more spiritual and a great Christian. Characteristics of a weak believer. We're now going to take time because I want us to get to our food and get back here to hear Amy, but I want you to see something. Somewhere write down Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, there's a presentation of a weak believer and a strong believer. Characteristics of the weak believer in Romans 14. If we took the time, I want you to be able to see just a tiny bit. Romans chapter 14 has a splendid description of the characteristics of a legalistic person who's called in the Scripture by the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, a weaker brother. This is a great passage about how to think grace forward someone who does something obnoxious or unspiritual. Remember, we all have areas of weakness. You may be a strong believer in some areas and weak in other areas. The idea in both cases is to avoid legalism and judgmentalism. Let me go back and see what I've just said. You've got to see this. Remember, we all have weaknesses. We all have strengths. You may be the stronger believer in some of your areas of strength and a weaker brother in areas of weakness. The idea in both cases is to avoid legalism and judgmentalism. The strong believer in Romans chapter 14 is the advanced believer. He's oriented to the grace of God, the plan of God. He's occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he operates his life in fellowship most of the time. Did you notice I said most of the time? How many of you have been cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, and you live moment after moment after moment, week after week after week, all right with God? You just don't ever get out of fellowship. Now, if you've been that way, you come talk to me afterwards and I'll tell you that that's not true. Okay? In other words, the idea in both cases is to avoid legalism and judgmentalism. The strong believer in the book of Romans is the advanced believer, not perfected believer in perfection, oriented to grace, oriented to God, to the plan of God, occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, and operates in fellowship most of the time under the power of the Spirit of God. The weak believer, on the other hand, is disoriented to grace, especially in the area of spirituality, and practices one or more forms of legalism. He's not comfortable unless he is judging the strong believer in some gray area of behavior. You've got to see the words and you've got to see the meaning behind these words. It's interesting that some people are of so heavenly, they're so heavenly minded that they're no, what is it? They're no human good. Someone said that and it's a good statement. The weaker brother is disoriented, especially in the area of spirituality, and practices one or more forms of legalism. He's not comfortable, she's not comfortable, unless they're judging a strong believer in some gray area of behavior. The weaker brother has one or more of the following characteristics. Gotta hasten through this. This is so neat. The weak brother is strong on scruples, but not well informed about the Word of God, biblical concepts, or divine viewpoint. In other words, they are hung up on scruples. In fact, they have become so involved in what should and should not be done, the weak believer is strong on scruples, but not well informed on the Word of God. The weaker brother has the operation of the criteria of his or her feelings, emotions, traditions, experiences, background, instead of Bible truth. The weak brother operates in the energy of the flesh, producing what the Bible teaches is wood, hay, and stubble, which he thinks or she thinks is divine good. In other words, here's a person who's producing wood, hay, and stubble, but they think it's gold, silver, and precious stones. So what do we say? Point four. The weaker brother is proud and critical of a believer who's strong and always judging those individuals. Number five, the weak brother sticks his nose into the affairs of others by gossiping, maligning, and judging. I'm glad that I can tell you that over these many, many years, there have been times when I've had to say to people, no, we don't need to do that. And I say it to them privately because I'm of the opinion that I'm able to see what they're suggesting is that if we go ahead and accept their suggestion and go that way, it will cause great difficulty in the Grace family. And I have to tell you this, and this is so unique. What has been amazing to me is that people who have been told by the pastor in private, no, that will not be the best for our church. And at the moment, they didn't think the pastor was right. And they didn't have the right attitude toward the pastor because of what the pastor said to them in private. But what I've discovered is that over a period of time, years come and go, that individuals, years later, have been able to come to me and say, I look back over a period of time and I realize that what you said 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago was really not the thing for us to do as a church family at that time. And I thank you that you talked to me about that. Can you imagine what the responsibility of the pastor is? In other words, I have individuals who have a lot of ideas, and some of those ideas are great and wonderful. But I'm aware of the fact that there are times when people who have ideas and come and share those with me, I'm of the opinion that if we carry that out, it's not the best thing for the family of God in this location. The weaker is proud and critical of strong believers. The weak believer sticks his nose into the affairs of others by gossiping, maligning, and judging. Number 6, the weak brother likes to set up a mold and then try to squeeze everyone into that mold. So he seeks or she seeks to be bully. Got to hasten. Here's number 7. The weak brother often has a guilt complex. So the person is emotionally unstable. He is or she is sensitive and demands attention. They are full of self-pity oftentimes and lust for approbation in their own particular sin nature. That could be, we could spend hours on that particular subject. Number 8, the weak brother is jealous of others, tries to discredit others. The weak believer nitpicks and condemns the activities and projects of others. And here's the last statement. Note, the weak brother is weak because that person resists the concept of God's grace. Why is a person weak? A person is weak because they do not accept the concepts of God's grace. That person can recover, though, quickly, by confessing, by being controlled by the Holy Spirit, and by pursuing the program of intake of Bible truth, which will make that person spiritually strong. On Wednesday night, we're going to come back to this subject with some conclusions that I believe all of us need to hear. May we pray together, please. The closing moments of our service today are designed for you who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm glad that I can tell you that Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, came to the earth, went to the cross, died on the cross for the sins of the world, was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended and sit at the Father's right hand to make intercession for us and to save you if you will trust Him now. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. I would encourage you, I realize that there are more people listening to my voice than those in this auditorium, so I would encourage you, no matter where you are today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you could do it now. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. This tells us very plainly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's faith alone in Christ alone. Wherever you are, whatever your condition is now, you can accept Jesus Christ, and He will accept you. Whosoever, that means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for the privilege of having this wonderful missionary here. And now as we go to partake of the food, we pray that you will strengthen our bodies by it. And we pray that as we come back into this auditorium to hear this magnificent missionary, that we'll be able to hear what she has to say with an open mind and open heart, and pray earnestly for these magnificent missionaries in their endeavors. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.